I think Trump won the election with the hurricane response. I think it's sealed.
The fact that he showed up, it's just such a layup for Kamala. She should have been there day dot. Like, I don't care what else is on your campaign schedule. You cancel it and you go to the place where the people are dying and you shake hands and you kiss babies and you say, "Well, I will do everything in my power as the vice president to help." That's what you do. It's in the playbook. It's actually not even in the playbook. It's not even in the playbook because it's so fundamental to how to play the game. Welcome to The Crunch, the only Catholic podcast entirely from the perspective of a serious man who never makes jokes and always respects women. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. Finally.
Don't laugh when I say respects women. You're not allowed to laugh.
And finally, a podcast. Finally, a podcast for the fellas. A podcast for Catholic men by Catholic men.
Yes, but also for Catholic women and their unique struggles that we know better than them.
I still think it'd be a really funny idea to start a Catholic women's podcast.
Yeah, you and me?
Exclusively by men. I think this is The Crunch, by the way. Welcome to the show.
It's a comedy podcast. We talk about Catholicism. We talk about Catholicism and like we joke around a little bit.
Yeah, the catches that we also kind of joke around. That cartoon cooked Luke Carey.
I sent it to him immediately. I saw it. And I instantly texted it to him.
How does this feel?
Because I could see him doing that. I can hear it in his voice, saying it at a bar loudly, over the din of the music and the glasses clinking. You hear his.
Talking really close to you.
He does do that. Yeah.
Oh man, you kind of like taste him. You know, he's kind of like in the sinuses. You know, I love Luke Carey.
I do too. I haven't seen him in so long. We should make a trip. We should make a pilgrimage to Dayton, and we can rub his bald head like a Buddha.
He lives in Dayton. I think did he move back to Dayton?
He lives in either Dayton or Cincinnati or so.
He's
Ohio.
From Dayton. I think he lives. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter.
The Zoomer. That's the millennial. That's the millennial. We should start a podcast. It's like a topic, but we kind of just joke around sometimes. The Zoomer version of that is we made this podcast, but like we also swear. We cuss and we say goon. You know, like that's the Zoomer podcast. I came across this podcast that's basically like a Zoomer Dave Ramsey who just like talks to someone across
Caleb
the table.
Hammer?
Yeah, and he's like, "What the F are you doing?" I love it. It's great.
He's great. He's really good.
I listened to an episode of that show. It stressed me out. I can't listen to it.
Because other people spending their money poorly stresses you out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It just makes me sad. It's like you're eating DoorDash every day, and you could be, and you're like, "Oh, I'm poor." It just is. It makes me sad because, first of all, you're wasting your money on terrible food, and you're poor. It'd be one thing if you were eating well, and you were poor.
I do not feel bad for them. This is the difference.
Someone lied to them at some point along the way, and they fell for it.
That's fair. They got the but they get like self-righteous, defensive, and angry about the wrong things. Like this one girl, $8,000 in credit card debt, and was like, "I can't believe I had to." Yeah, I would be. I'd be like, her finances are on the table. She's in trouble, and she's like, "Where does she shift the blame?" Hospital parking was $4 a day. I can't believe they would take advantage of people like that. And I was like, "My friend, that is the least of your problems, actually."
You do that every day for a year. You park at the hospital every day for a year. That's not even $8,000.
The debt that you're in currently.
Yeah. We should open a parking lot.
You make bank, apparently.
Yeah.
I actually think $4 a day per spot is the minimum you can charge and actually break even on a parking lot.
Yeah, with city taxes.
Yeah, because you're not actually doing anything there. You're just like, "Hey, why don't you guys put your machine here?" You know,
it would stress me out. It would stress me out if I went on that show and I had to bear all in front of the internet. you know.
I don't think they'd let you on. You're too normal.
I'm too solvent, you know?
Yeah.
I'm too, I don't know. I'm not solvent. I have no positive net worth because I have a mortgage on my primary residence. Yes. So that,
yeah, but they unfortunately, don't really count that, you know?
No, most people don't. Everyone's like, oh yeah, I don't have any debt except for this looming
except for my mortgage.
Six figure thing that I'm going to have for 30 years. It's like, well,
I don't have debt except for all of my debt. The place where I live, the only thing I own everything except for the house that I live in. That's crazy.
That is kind of insane.
I own everything except for the place where it all is.
Yeah, it seems kind of backwards. You think it should be the other way around, you know? Own the place, not the stuff inside. Whoa, you just invented a store. Very cool. I am, and I don't say this in like a exasperated person with depression online sort of way. I mean it in the very literal physical sense. I'm really tired.
Oh, man.
We were at the hospital last night for 6 hours because we thought that Emma was in labor. Well, she is. Was. I don't know. It's all kind of labor at some point, right? Like the last 2 or 3 weeks are all, it's laborious for everyone. Let me tell you that. But, but she thought last time we went to the hospital, not as fast as Phoebe, but last time we went and she was super far along. And so we were like at the same spot for this pregnancy. And her doctor was like, you can't wait. Like, don't labor at home. Come to the hospital ASAP.
Yeah.
As soon as you experience these things. And so we were like, all right, doctor lady says, this was our experience last time. We should probably go in. We're there for 6 hours. It doesn't progress. It actually slows down. So we just like lose a night basically of sleep away from the baby or away from Peter. We're trying to schedule people to come into town to like watch them because we don't know, are we going to be there? Are we not going to be there? It was just very stressful in the middle of the night. Get home at like 4 in the morning. And I had to work today. Like I had my job.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry I canceled the podcast, but because I did that, I got 3 hours of sleep instead of 2, which is
nice.
It was really nice.
I would not wanted to have podcasted with you after 2 hours of sleep.
I would have been miserable, but now I'm like, all right, I got to do this show, but we might have to go to the hospital again tonight, you know, cause that's just how it is. So I'm like, I'm just going to feel like I'm on this treadmill that I can't get off of just going to the hospital. But the nurse did bring me an ice cream cup. So it's hard to say if it was bad or not.
That's so nice.
It was nice. I probably paid $50 for that ice cream cup through insurance. It was worth it.
They don't have to do that for you.
No, they don't.
They didn't give me food.
You didn't get any food?
At Holmes Regional. They gave me an $8 meal voucher.
Dude, she made me a cup of coffee. He brought me ice cream, a pillow, and a blankie. I was like, thank you. And I just laying on the couch. Emma's like, over in the hospital bed. I'm like Winnie the Pooh in the cozy picture with this little cup of tea.
Dude, I was out like a light for most of the 24 hours that we were in the hospital.
Yeah.
It was sad. I should have been awake more and help, but like, what could I do? I was like, oh, Phoebe, do you need me to wake up? She's like, no, I'll go back to sleep. I was like, thanks.
That is the nice thing is once you've been through it once, you're like, do you need me for this part? She's like, nah, I got it. And you're like, all right, cool. And then you sleep and then you wake up and then you're there and present when she actually does need you to like hold the hand.
And, oh my gosh.
And scream at the nurses to back off. Get that needle away from my wife. We don't need any of your experimental drugs. Life. I don't need you injecting her with anything that Anthony Fauci invented in the hospital right now.
This is a wonderful Tim Robinson impression.
I don't know about that. So we'll probably go back tonight. We'll see. Who knows?
People keep saying I can't take the bottoms out of the coffins. I didn't do anything.
He's a funny guy.
That's what that felt like.
Do you want to talk about, we didn't do the bonus podcast this week. I was going to talk about the biggest thing that happened in Catholic Twitter since the catfishing event, but it's the moment has passed now. No one cares
anymore. Oh yeah, the moment's passed and no one even knows.
No one even knows who the guy is.
Kev went private years ago. No one knows who he is.
I've been following Kev. He allowed me to follow him. I was like,
oh,
it's just crazy that you let me follow you, even though we are diametrically opposed on a variety of issues.
I just,
and all of your friends hate me.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so cool,
I just
though.
Never followed him.
No, I followed him. I
followed Larry.
Follow Larry. Hard not to follow Larry. Yeah. If you don't know what happened, a guy that Patrick and I have known on Twitter for years was exposed by Donald Trump Jr. on X. It was just a crazy thing to see.
Stupid.
It was so insane.
The clown world. This is kind of like when J.D. Vance was chosen to be the vice presidential nominee. It's like, yeah. It's weird that someone who is red, you know, it's weird that someone who has like read New Polity magazine is going to be in the White House.
Yeah.
It's weird.
There's a certain size of magazine that you should not have been allowed to read to be the president, you know?
Yeah. And it's the new Polity Journal of Post-Liberal Thought.
It's cool that you have that.
You know, I keep that thing on me.
You know, what do I got? I don't have anything. I don't have anything interesting to pull over here. Anyway, this guy that we've known for years was exposed by the president's son for leaking private DMs with J.D. Vance, which is just insane. It's just an insane thing to do. And I think that's a one story in and of itself. And it's like, why did you do that? Why did you put your family at risk to score internet points against J.D. Vance? It's not going to make a big difference. Why did you do that? Right. I genuinely open invitation to Kevin to come on the show and explain himself. Why did you do that? Because I would love to understand.
What would 100%
genuine. Yeah. Like I understand you don't like him and you're trying to get him. You got him for like a day and then everyone forgot. So, and he acknowledged it on the debate stage. He's like, yeah, I used to not like Trump, but now I do. It's like, oh, okay. I guess all of that was for nothing.
Then. And the DMs apparently prove that he didn't like Trump past when he said he stopped liking Trump, but no one, that's not a big enough deal for people to be like,
it's too complicated.
Look into it, you know?
Yeah. It's too niche of a thing. And then
you gotta be really simple.
Yeah.
Trump is felon.
Right.
You gotta be really simple. Kamala is promiscuous. Like you gotta be super simple with your slander. Mm-hmm. You can't be like, Hillary Clinton didn't withdraw troops fast enough from Benghazi. That's not gonna stick. It's just not.
Emails. Yeah. I don't even remember
about the emails.
Is that what Bernie said?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Like on the debate stage, like can we quit it with the emails?
He just a guy who doesn't like getting emails.
That's just that he. It was just Bernie frustrated guy, like,
with modern communication.
I don't want to get any more emails. I don't want to get any more Instagram.
I am once again asking for your support to stop sending me emails.
Please stop sending me coupons for Bob Evans. What?
Oh, poor Bernie. So naturally, all the left Catholic people on X were like, this is our moment to shine because we haven't had a moment to shine since Mecca went on Red Scare Pod 4 years ago.
I don't know what any of those words mean.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. And it was just a very silly time. And I didn't really enjoy it. I didn't really enjoy it because I don't think we should celebrate someone losing their job.
Did he lose his job?
I would assume so. How can you keep your job? Who at Deloitte would be like, good job, son, for tweeting out private information that was belonged to the company?
I think two things. One, I think it was his personal. I think it was his personal DM, so it is a little different.
I thought it was Deloitte. Sensitive information. So he just posted a screenshot with a conversation he had with J.D. Vance, basically.
He sent it to the Washington Post. It was a personal conversation. And also, I think Deloitte's employment structure is such that you're not like an employee or a partner. And so you have, like, they can't just fire you.
I see. All right, never mind. I take everything back. What he did was right. What else has been going on? Your camera's not working.
My camera is—it's connected. It's just simply not turning on. So
that's fine.
Yeah, whatever.
Good. Switch to B cam. Switching.
That's not turning on either.
Switching to B cam. I think I'd be a good TV operator.
Yeah.
You know, and pan, 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 Panda one. Freeze. All right, bring in the live. Bring in the live feed. And we're clear. I think I'd do very well.
Like Freddie Benson.
Even better than Freddie Benson.
How dare you? That's impossible.
All right.
No one better than Freddie B. Benson.
Are we just going to keep doing the podcast without your video on?
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm working on it right now.
Should we pause?
I'm unplugging. I'm plugging. I'm unplugging. Nothing's happening.
This is the one main show that has the same vibe as a bonus show. I feel like we're just kind of.
Well, we don't have it. Yeah, we didn't have a main show, so we gotta.
This is the main show.
Wait, sorry, we didn't have a bonus show. Mm. I am gonna dig the dust out of this USB port, and that's.
Oh, that's so disgusting.
I know. Ugh, you sicken me. Absolutely disgusting.
You're like cleaning out the pores of the machine's acne.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, no, we're gonna have to do the podcast. Like
dust
doing
is
it live.
The, is the pus of the robot. And what? I have said that. What? Trick, my website sucks.
It does, really? Wait, hold on. We've worked really hard on it. It took us ages and ages and ages to put it together. You're telling me that our website is bad?
Yes, we are but simple, humble parish workers. And we tried so hard, but we were so bad at it.
It's probably because I spent all my time studying theology and not digital graphic design.
It's probably because I spent all of my time browsing through WordPress plugins instead of actually making the website.
That'll do it. I have redone a parish website twice in my career. Because I was the youngest person on staff, I had to work on it. And most parish websites are clunky, poorly written, and horrible and difficult to navigate. And that's why our friend Dan at Briefcase Marketing is sponsoring our podcast to get the word out to you, parish worker, about how you guys can redo your website for a fraction of the cost of what it would cost you to get it done by like some firm that's not even Catholic. They don't even know about the church. Come on, get out of here.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't just parishes. This is any Catholic company that has an old or a cluttered website, or really any company at all. If you work at a small company, if you have a website, Dan at Briefcase Marketing can help you out. This would be a really overwhelming process, Patrick, but they make it really, really simple over at Briefcase Marketing.
Yes. Most companies that you contract to write a website for you will make you write out the whole website, all of the stuff. They're just making it look pretty. They're not doing any of the content. Dan will actually write the website for you so that you don't have to worry about what's going to convert, what needs to be above the fold. What does above the fold even mean? He takes care of all of that for you.
I send him photos of myself. I say, put this one on the website. Put that one on the website. Put this one on the website. Make this one a GIF. Turn me into, make it so that I'm dancing with Trump and Elon Musk AI. And he says, no problem. No problem. I'll include it on the website. Super easy to work with. Loves putting pictures of me on the website. So if that's your bag, he's got it.
Instead of staring at a blank sheet of paper and writing all of your content, he writes everything for you. So takes care of all of that. And if your company or ministry or parish needs a better website, he has a deal that the first three people to fill out our form on our website will get a free rewrite of the hero section of their website. It's the top part of the homepage, the most important part of your website. So the first three people, even if you don't go with them, even if you don't work with them, get a free rewrite of the hero section of your website. So fill out our form at thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Take it to a form, fill it out, and he'll rewrite the hero section for you. If you love it, he'll work with you. You're going to want to hire him immediately. He's a great guy. Check out his Google reviews. All of his Google reviews are from parish pastors or ministries he's worked with that have given him 5 stars all the way. So go check him out. That's thecrunchcast.com/briefcase.
thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Thank you so much to Briefcase Marketing for sponsoring this episode of Putting Ethan on Your Parish Website. Do it now. Okay, goodbye.
I have said that.
Oh man. So what's going on with you?
Nothing much. Just, you know, being just messing around with my camera. That's about it. No, obviously things are much more normal in my life than yours recently.
Yeah, it's a weird week. It's a very strange time to be alive. It's October, but it's 97 degrees outside. Dude. I don't know how to cope with that. I don't think it's global warming. I think it's genuinely like it's a result of bad governance. on the part of the Republican Party.
Dude, the
they make it so hot here, dude.
The president of our company made such a funny joke at our conference. Yeah. He was like,
"What did he say?"
He's talking about the year 1886. He was doing some like story where he's telling a point, making a point. And the first gas powered car was invented in 1886, and also the later that same year, the worst storm to ever hit the West Coast hit. And he was like, you know, they made the gas powered car, and immediately the weather, it's global warming, it hit right away.
Nice.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Dude, the hurricane thing has been crazy. I've been following Jeff
Putnam. That's been absolutely nuts.
That's been insane. It made me realize, just following Jeff's tweets alone, made me realize that I am not prepared for anything to happen.
Correct. It's
I don't have a chainsaw. I don't have boots. All I have is a stupid podcast. I would likely, if it were to, thankfully I live on a hill, so I don't think I would drown.
Yeah.
But I do think that I would potentially get shot in the looting.
You think so?
And I would die in a 7-Eleven. Yeah.
Oh man. I've heard stories in both directions. I've heard like, the store couldn't sell the steak, so they threw them all out. And I've also heard the store couldn't sell the steak, so they had a cookout. I've heard both sides. Yeah. But it's, the storm was crazy. It's wild how it's very rare that we have the inland get hit and like my side of the state doesn't, you know, it's kind of rare.
Right.
Usually if it's bad inland, it's bad over here too. But I'm surprised that I told Phoebe the entire time, I was like, they always break up over the Appalachians. They always break up over the Appalachians. And it just didn't. It just kept going.
It just kept going. I saw a crazy video that looked straight out of, this sounds so stupid, but it looks straight out of a video game. Like the road was along like a scenic lake, and the road had collapsed. Like it had flooded and the dirt and the ground washed away underneath the road. And there was just this giant hole, and there were all these like trees and houses that were totally broken down. And you look to the side, it's like this scenic, beautiful lake. And you look over and saw this destruction. I'm like, this doesn't look real. And obviously the people are there and they're filming it with their phones instead of appreciating the fact that they're living in a natural disaster, which is awesome. Except, I mean, obviously not that cool, but like it is kind of cool to see infrastructure collapse when it doesn't kill anybody. Can I just say that?
Yes.
If no one dies, seeing a broken road and broken trees is like, whoa, this is all so fragile. You know, this could all go away at some point.
Yes.
And then it did go away for all these people. Lots of people died. Extremely sad. The government's not helping. So it's bad. It's very bad. Patrick left. He's gone. Ladies and gentlemen, he's back.
I simply had to turn it off and back on again.
I'm very proud of you. All I was saying is that it's crazy that it all... I was talking about something. I actually forgot what I was saying.
It was a video game. Life is a movie.
Life is a movie. It's also fragile, and we're not prepared. It makes me. No. It made me reconsider my spending priorities. Mm. I was going to purchase a new computer monitor for my desk, and I think instead I'm going to buy a gun.
I love that Ethan gets a gun arc. Nah, dude, what you need to buy is a water filtration system. That's number one.
Do those come with the guns?
No. That's
like shooting fish in a barrel. She like shooting fish in a filtered barrel.
You just gotta make sure that your city doesn't your city allows you to drink reclaimed water. Or you can just buy a bunch of rain barrels that say for irrigation purposes only, and then like
give it away. It's crazy that you're not allowed to collect rainwater. Isn't that insane?
Isn't that silly?
It comes from
the sky.
It comes from the sky. You should just be able to take it.
You can just make it, yeah.
It's like, it'd be like if it was illegal to collect leaves.
I know. It's weird.
This is a renewable resource, sir.
Florida, there's an amendment on the ballot, the right to hunt in Florida, which I was talking to you about, like
the right to hunts. And it's people who hate Heinz ketchup.
Who hate Heinz ketchup. Like, I like that formula better. I like the high fructose corn syrup. I like the way it tastes.
Yeah.
You were making fun of me when I was talking about how cool it was that guy caught that fish. And I was like, that's so cool. I was talking about how cool it was that, like, this homeless guy was fishing in the river, and I was like, it's so cool that I live in a place where a homeless guy can get fish.
I was making fun of you. Yeah.
You know? And now they're expanding the right to hunt in Florida so that, you know, it's like, yeah, if so, genuinely, I believe this, if someone's homeless, they should be able to catch and kill a squirrel. They 100%. Should be able to do that. 100%. They're there.
Eat them.
They're there. You should be able to capture and kill a rabbit. There's no reason why we should.
I don't think you should be allowed to take people's pets and cook them and eat them.
Correct. There's a line. I think
the geese at the city park ought to be protected, I will say.
I don't know about the geese. I'm actually pro killing the geese.
What about the geese?
I'm fine. I'm fine with the immigrant that killed the geese. I'm fine with him.
Yeah. Everyone else.
Stealing and eating animals that are other people's, not cool. Mm-hmm. Geese, a nuisance.
I think you just have to cook it somewhere where we can't see you. Like, it's fine. Take the goose under nightfall, you know, be hidden, cook the goose in your encampment. But I don't think you should be cooking and eating a goose in the city park with the kids on the slides.
I think you should be allowed to do that.
You think that the
not in the just... city park. I think you should be able. I think you should be allowed to go.
In your own home.
I think you should be allowed to go to the woods and cook a goose that you killed. And I think
you should be allowed to go to the woods.
I think if this country doesn't allow people the freedom to cook and eat their own geese, then our goose is cooked. I'll tell you that as a country.
All right, everybody. We'll be right back. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this. Hello, it's me from the future. Well, in this podcast, I'm from the future, but for you listening, I'm from the past. And if this ad gets used again, I'm even more in the past. But I'm not in the future for the future me that's recording a future episode that this ad is in. But what I'm going to talk to you today about is the Consecrate America campaign. We just had the year of the 3 years of the Eucharistic Revival and the big National Eucharistic Congress. But Carmel Communications is on a mission to consecrate America to the Eucharist. So you can go to consecrateamerica.com. We're hoping that we get as many people as possible to sign a petition to the U.S. bishops to consecrate America to the Eucharist. As of right now, I'm looking at the page, 137,000 people have signed. They're aiming for 250,000. You head over to consecrateamerica.com. You can join the petition. Essentially, we believe that the people who believe in the Eucharist should continue to advocate for adoration, reverence in the liturgy. I mean, we can't just stop because the Congress happened and it's over now. It feels like it's over now. We have to keep going. And one of the ways that Carmel Communications is doing this, and they are petitioning the bishops to consecrate America to the Eucharist. 50 million American Catholics have left the Catholic faith in the past 30 years. It is time to stop seeking worldly solutions to spiritual problems. If we consecrate America, then we will be placing this into God's hands. We will be seeking out a spiritual solution to a spiritual problem. So head on over to consecrateamerica.com. Sign the petition today. We'd like to thank Carmel Communications for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. Go to consecrateamerica.com. Sign the petition now. See you later. This country was made off of the ability to go into the woods and cook and eat what you find.
I agree. I believe.
That's literally what the pilgrims in 1604 were like. Oh, King George, I'm not you. The King George was like, you got a license to go in the forest and cook and eat that goose. And they were like, we don't need a license. We're going to go across the ocean and we're going
to go pumpkin.
I'm going to go and he's going to be named Biscuits. And I'm going to have I'm going to die on this transatlantic voyage. And then he dies, but then his son goes to the forest and he goes.
Big pox. It's like smallpox, but worse.
Did they have that back then?
I don't think so.
If they did, that's what Andrew Jackson would have given the Native Americans. If that existed at the time.
Genuinely, like, I remember. He would have given them big pox
if it was available to him.
I remember learning about that at school and being like, wow, that's so horrible. Low-key, great idea.
Effective,
key,
right?
Genius. Would never have thought of it. Never
to be in school and get taught this like horrendous war tactic, you know, or strategy or whatever. And then and they're like, this was a horrendous violation of human rights. And you're like, actually, it's how
it's kind of smart, actually. I know. I didn't think about that.
It's like
me
learning about how horrible dropping the atomic bomb is at school and then going home and playing Civilization 4 and immediately dropping a nuclear weapon on a neighboring civilization.
Genuinely surprised that the people that had goat teeth and didn't know that they needed to wash their hands knew enough about medicine to be like, we could just cough on these blankets and they'll die.
Yeah. Yeah. How did
That's
they
impressive.
Is that all they did was they just... I feel like I always imagined that they had one kid with smallpox and they just rolled him on the blanket. They just rolled him around. Oh, he's gone. He's out.
I'm looking up the smallpox.
They're like, how did they get the smallpox on the blankets?
Blankets.
Yeah. Terrible thing. He shouldn't have done it. But they didn't have like labs in Wuhan to do biological warfare back then.
No, they weren't feeding the natives bats.
No.
History.com. Did colonists give infected blankets? Did it work?
It worked.
Apparently, there's only one clearly documented instance of a colonial attempt to spread smallpox during the war, and oddly, there's no clear historical verdict on whether it actually worked.
This is why I feel comfortable joking about it.
Come on.
It didn't happen.
My recollection is like they were everywhere. You couldn't.
Yeah,
they were
handing
smallpox blankets out. Like it was Christmas. They were driving the sled to the camp going, here, take the smallpox
blankets. Take the blankets, everybody.
It was probably like, hey, this kid had this highly contagious disease. What if we like take his stuff and give it to the natives? And they're like, oh, this is a good idea.
Let's do it. Let's see if it works. And then it did work and they were like.
It happened in Pittsburgh, apparently, at Fort Pitt.
What were we talking about before the smallpox blanket? We were talking about big pox. We were talking about British. We were talking about going to the woods. This country is built on your ability. This is what I'm saying. You should be able to go into the woods. I should be able to go to a local sporting goods store and purchase a high-powered firearm for my defense and for the potential liberation of my city that it may be needed from vandals, vagrants, vagabonds, and other villains. Yeah. I think that would be good for me. Although I do need to learn how to use it. I was looking at videos on how to load the shells into the tube, and then with the pump it brings it into the chamber, and then you pull the trigger and it fires the shell. And I learned all of that on the video.
Yes, and you do not need to pump it every time.
It depends on the gun that you have.
Yeah, there's that thing they're always like. They pick the shell. It's like they waste a round. Have you seen that?
I have seen that. They do waste the round. But sometimes you do need to do it after you fire.
I'm assuming you have to pump it at least once.
There is one pump required at some point.
What's the one where you like, there's a handle and you got to like.
It's a lever action.
Yeah. How many? Is that just BB guns or they got that on other
guns
too?
No, they have that on shotguns. Same principle. They have it on rifles, shotguns. It's the same principle. It's just instead of a pump, you reload the chamber with a lever instead of a pump.
It feels cumbersome.
It's not. It's actually really easy to use. I've shot one of those before.
It's simpler than you think.
It's actually not. It might be hard for you, but it's pretty easy for me.
It's actually pretty easy for me. The only guns I've ever shot are a BB gun and a black powder rifle. Those are the only two because I had to do it.
How old are you?
You had to do it in Boy Scouts. You had to do black powder rifle.
What war did you fight in where you had to pour powder down
the smallpox blankets? Tell you what.
Uh-huh.
No, we had the black powder rifle, and we had.
Imagining you with in high school, with in your and you're hefty, but you have a musket. And I'm just imagining you going around town with your little musket,
it was middle school.
little Davy Crockett
long hair.
Hat.
And leather moccasins that I made myself.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude.
At Camp Lenoche, baby.
No
way. I got them from
way.
The camp store, and I made them. I weaved them myself. Incredibly proud of those things. They had those like make-your-own moccasin kit, probably, actually.
You should find them and put them on, and also find your little raccoon hat and your little musket, and you should take a picture.
I super had a raccoon hat. I don't know why you're like laughing.
You're the Patrick, the type of guy. I'm talking to the audience now, so shut up. Patrick, the type of guy to have a raccoon hat.
I super had a raccoon hat.
Yeah, so I think I'm thinking about getting a weapon. And I've like this is something I've tossed around in my mind before, but this whole and then the other thing that really freaked us out, my neighbor's a firefighter, and he's like, yeah, Department of Homeland Security came by the other day at the station, and they were kind of teaching us like what to do in case of like a terrorist attack, or like, you know, like if they release like nerve gas or something in the city, just like with the election coming up. And I was like, okay. That's an interesting factoid about things.
Just in case they release nerve
case.
Gas.
I was like, who's they? I mean, I've got the nerve to pass gas. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, look at that. Nerve gas.
So I'm just
this,
a little bit.
Nerve gas that. Why don't nerve.
I'm not worried about anything happening in my location because I'm pretty remote from other stuff. But
yeah.
But it's also like that thing with the trees and the flooding and everything. Like if something were to occur, I have no way to protect myself. I have no way to get my family out in a situation like that. I don't have any tools in my car. I don't have any jackets. Like I don't have any, like all the stuff that you're supposed to have for like preparedness. I don't have any of that. And I was looking at all these videos of these people that are like drowning in the river and dying of hypothermia because they don't have, you know, warm clothes in their car. I'm like, man, I got to step it up. You know, I got to put some forethought into how I protect my family. It's kind of a crazy thing.
I got to clean out my trunk and I got to have an emergency preparedness kit in my trunk.
Yeah.
That's what I need. Road flares, MREs, a little book.
What's in the little book?
A little book just in case I get bored.
What book are you putting in your
emergency? I'm going to put Archie
emergency
comics in the emergency preparedness kit.
You want to find out what freaking Jessica is saying to Red,
Jughead?
To Jughead? What's his name? What's the redheaded guy's name?
Archie.
No, the other one.
Archie is the redheaded guy.
No, that's who does
Which
Cole
one's
Sprouse
Riverdale?
Play? Yeah, who
Jughead.
Does Cole Sprouse play? Cole Sprouse plays Jughead?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm lost.
I never.
I would do Calvin and Hobbes personally if it's up to me.
I have everything I need. I have blankets. I have lights, flashlight, and I have the entire Calvin and Hobbes treasury in my car.
It's only
$60 case.
Bucks paperback to get the 3-volume set. I've been thinking about
Not
picking
bad.
It up as well.
Right after you get your gun. It's actually I got the 3-volume set hollowed out. Gun
and it's a shotgun, so it's just sticking out through the on either end.
that's like that do you remember, it's gonna sound silly, but do you remember that scene in the first Harry Potter movie where they drop the broomstick he gets the broomstick from the professor and he's like, they're like, what is it? It's just a wrapped broomstick, you know. It's very clearly a broom.
I do. Right, I do remember that. He's gone, ladies and gentlemen.
Fine. We had a good run.
We got camera to switch to B.
Switch to B. Switch to A. There we go.
What is it, Harry? There is a. We'd already talked about Harry Potter. I just watched all the movies with Emma. Some of the dialogue, horrendous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just so much of. In the seventh movie, no, the last, the eighth movie. They're just like, Harry. You still have the trace on you. And Harry goes, what's the trace? It's like the thing that detects magic for underage wizards. Mm-hmm. You're 17. You've been in this game for a long time. You should know what that is. You should not ask what's the trace for the sake of the audience. That should just be one of those things where they just say you've got the trace on you. and then they just go for it and just like and trust the people. That's the end of our movie discussion, but that really upset me the other day. It is Saturday. I'm about to watch some college football. I got the K-State polo on. As some of you know, my love for college football is another indication of my further swing to the right that you might have noticed on the podcast. One of the other things that's more right wing about me lately is that I really, really hate censorship. I really don't like big tech using their monopoly over the technology that we use every day, silencing people that frankly say things that are true about the Catholic Church, about Catholic social teaching. There's a lot of repression about the truth that's going on out there in big tech land. That's why our sponsor, Patmost Hosting Solutions, is one of the best sponsors we've ever had, because I think they're actually doing something of value. Our website is hosted on Patmost. They are our island of refuge from big tech. That's one of the things that they say. They provide a few different things: top-notch web and app development services, hosting, AI GPU services, and they're all backed. This is the thing I really like about them: no censorship guarantee. So even if they completely disagreed with you, they would still host you. They would still put you out on the web. They would make sure you don't get deplatformed, because they agree that you should be allowed to say what you want to say, right? You should not be censored because of ideological differences. I say a lot of things on this podcast that maybe would get me canceled otherwise, but Patmost, because I'm not worried about that, they always take care of me, which is really, really nice. I have my own person to talk to. I could talk to Camila anytime I have an issue or a question about what's going with Patmost, and they never offshore or sub out any of their work. There's just no better value in tech. So if you are looking to build an app or website or host a current site, or you know someone who's looking to do any of these things, go to patmost.tech. They can help out businesses or missions. So if you're in the church world, they can help you no matter what size you are. There's no cost amount that is the minimum threshold. They want to help everybody who wants this type of service with the great value that they provide. Let's see the last thing here. Oh, I didn't include this in some of the other ads. You get 10% off your next web project or free hosting migration if you tell them The Crunch sent you. That's 10% off. We need to go back and we need to update some. I'm going to say this a lot more. 10% off if you tell them that The Crunch sent you. That's patmost.tech. Patmos, freedom as a service. Go to patmos.tech, tell them The Crunch sent you. Get 10% off for your favorite mission, organization, church, or business. That's patmos.tech. They keep us free. Thank you, Patmos, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
The catch is we joke around.
I know. It's like there's just nothing else to do. Once you've read all of the spiritual classics and you've given your opinions on evangelization, there's nothing else to talk about. All we have is movies.
We're in the end game now, baby. We've given all.
I've been reading St. Louis de Montfort. Does anyone want to hear about that? Probably not.
That I read Louis de Montfort back in the day. Couldn't shut up about it.
Yeah, I've been reading the Mystery of the Rosary, the one about the Rosary
is good. True Devotion is great.
Yeah,
so good. I've read True Devotion 3 times, I think.
Yeah, True Devotion is too long. I kind of get into it. He talks about Mary, but too much.
Too much. There's not much to do. We've beat the Elite Four. We've completed the National Pokédex, and now we got to go do the thing with the Poffins. Or whatever BS they have at the end. Come on. Yeah. We got to win the contests. No, I don't want to do any of that post-game nonsense. I want to talk about politics. I want to talk about my 401k.
Yeah.
I want to get my cholesterol checked.
Is it just true that at a certain point your life becomes boring, you know, like a normal way? Like,
yes.
Okay. Are we there?
I actually I think our lives before this were more boring than we remember. I think we look back fondly upon those times, and I think people romanticize their youth,
right?
And it's like it actually wasn't all it was cracked up to be.
No. I wasn't buying a gun 4 years ago.
A lot of the drama that comes from being young is that you just don't know what the hell you're doing, and so every decision is huge. You look back and you're like, Do I ask this girl out, or we do all the time on the dating corners? Like, all the drama comes from this high stakes decision of, do I sit next to Jessica in fourth period math? And so that's just not an issue. It's not a real thing. the adventure
decision of should I go to Chipotle again?
I know. Oh man. But yeah, speaking of the hurricane, I did want to talk about this.
Sure.
I think I know you mentioned I said this earlier. I was like you responded, so please feel free to say what you said earlier before the show again. But I think Trump won the election with the hurricane response. I think it's sealed.
The fact that he showed up, it's just such a layup for Kamala. She should have been there day dot. Like, I don't care what else is on your campaign schedule. You cancel it and you go to the place where the people are dying and you shake hands and you kiss babies and you say, well, I will do everything in my power as the vice president to help. That's what you do. It's in the playbook. It's actually not even in the playbook. It's not even in the playbook because it's so fundamental to how to play the game. You know, this isn't even a play. Yeah. It's just like when you get the ball, run forward type beat. And Trump shows up. He's talking to people. They're excited to see him. You know, he's on the ground. And people are mad. They're like, oh, a billionaire taking advantage of all these poor people. And it's like, no, he's visiting.
He dropped the Starlinks. He got it. He got them stuff. Yeah. That's the.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I don't know what his response was compared to FEMA, but like he without FEMA had a better image of what he was doing. He was able to portray I'm doing more than the federal government with just his own. And that story about FEMA running out of money.
Yeah.
That's it. It's over. I don't know what to tell you. That's dude, the
nail
narrative.
In the coffin. Like, today, Kamala's like, every person is going to get $750.
Dang.
It's like,
I cannot.
That is such a, it's to someone whose house like is destroyed by water. That's such a slap in the face.
You can't.
I've lost everything I own.
You can't do, and you can't come back from that. It's like, that's the simple narrative. Like that's the thing that no leaked DM can bring you back from. That's a simple narrative. Donald Trump gave you the internet and FEMA spent money on undocumented immigrants, and then Kamala gave you $750. It's like that's it.
It's FEMA spent not money on undocumented immigrants, $600 million on undocumented immigrants, like a non insignificant amount of money. It's insignificant, I guess, in the scope of the United States government's budget. But still, it's like imagine if they had even $100 million to help these people, you know. That could do a lot. That's a lot of burgers, a lot of hot dogs that you can grill up, a lot of Weber grills.
A lot of copies of the Calvin and Hobbes 3-volume treasury. Mm-hmm. A lot of copies.
A lot of
bring
copies.
Joy and laughter to these people.
And then on top of that, you have J.D. Vance waxing Tim Walz in the debate. I didn't even watch it, and I know he won. It was based on vibes.
Just the memes. The memes alone.
Because no one's talking about how awesome Funnel Cake Dad is anymore. They're all talking about. I don't even know. Nobody's talking about Tim Walz anymore. He's out. He's the meme is that his eyes are wide open. He looks like a deer in the headlights. That's the power of image. Mimetic image is so strong that the only thing people are going to think of is him with that like wide eyed look on his face. That's it.
Like,
that's all he's got. And the JD, dude, that's such the perfect.
It was incredible.
They couldn't have asked. They could not have asked for a better image outcome of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely insane. You're telling me JD didn't win over the entire millennial vote by jimming the camera. Come on.
It's so frustrating, but it worked.
You seeing this, folks?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. JD said something dumb. He was like, the rules said you weren't going to fact check, which like, I understand what he was trying to say, but, like dumb way to say it, but that didn't even,
I know that should have knocked him, but
it should have knocked him out, but it didn't.
He's so powerful in so many other areas.
They should have got him for it. Also, I think he lost weight.
I think so too. He kind of lost a little of the baby fat in his face.
Fizzled.
Yeah. He's starting to look more and more like the Chad filtered meme version of himself.
This is hope. This gives me hope. As a guy whose face is shaped like J.D. Vance's, baby face beard boys rise up. Maybe one day I too will be the Chad version of myself.
You're on your personal trainer arc.
I am.
You tweet stuff on your personal, in your private account, just so that I can see it and get mad about it, I think.
Yes.
I think that's why you do it.
I have done that. I'm trading someone who I met through, I think it's just through a cold call for work, but he's run a gym in the Melbourne area for like the last 25 years. It's been so long. And he's been a personal trainer that whole time. And he does a high ticket one-on-one coaching thing. And I was talking about social media. He wants to get out on social media. I was like, great, like, I can help you do that. He's like, hey, what if we just, like, our offers are priced the same. Why don't we just trade?
Just
and
I barter. Was like, yes. Amazing.
Yes. Mark Barnes. And so we had a meeting today where he like went over, and it's actually perfect because it makes it easier for me to do his social media because I'm going through his program. And so the stuff is sticking in my head more. But yeah, he's got like super nice facilities. I tried a rowing machine.
Oh boy.
Yesterday.
And how'd it go?
I'm great at it, man. I did better than I thought. What?
It's the easiest machine at there.
Yeah, but it's like we were like expectations were low, right? Oh, they were like, let's do 250, let's see how you do 250 meters, and then like let's put it in like the middle setting. And I was like, I did 500 at the highest setting. And I was like, this is great.
You got strong legs. That really helps with a row.
I really like it.
You're the boy in the boat.
It was like, but the other thing was it's less monotonous than just like the running or the, I really liked swimming for that reason too. It's like less, it's less monotonous. And so I really like it. It's like a fun, you know.
What is your goal?
I don't have any goals yet.
You should have a goal.
I barely even know what I can do. I had my first session yesterday.
Doesn't matter what you can do. You got
to
think
about
what you can
be. My goal is to drink more smoothies. I really like smoothies.
Oh, do you want to be, is there like a, do you have a strength goal? Do you have a weight goal? Like, why are you doing personal training? Are you just doing it just to do it? Or are you trying to get something out of it?
Yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out.
You should know. You should not, this isn't a figure out. This is like, what does Patrick want?
Oh, well, it's like, right, I just don't want to be fat anymore. I don't want to be like a chunky guy, you know? I was talking.
Muscular Patrick. I don't think I can do the podcast with you anymore because you will.
My mom actually said that to me when I was in high school. She was like, Patrick, you have so much going for you. You can't also be super athletic.
If you're muscular, you're muscular. You got 30K on X. You're the mob boss of print media in Melbourne, Florida. You wear a gold chain and you have aura sometimes. I don't know.
Who knows where it goes?
I think I'll just have to slink away into my Sigma darkness cave.
I'm owner of a million dollar media agency. That's next on the docket. Multi-million dollar social media mogul and print media mogul. He can get you a man who can do both.
You just got to be able to scale, man. That's the hardest part.
Yeah, dude, just got to scale. Yeah.
I have
I interviewed an editor today.
To
it was
bed.
Good.
Nice.
Yeah. That talk about scale. I was like, I do not want to edit. I don't want to get better at editing. I just want someone else to do it and get really, really good at it and then me pay them a lot of money. That's what I want to do.
Nice.
So I just got to find people. If you know someone who wants to give me a lot of money, go to patnebby.com.
Hold on. You can't do that. That's not fair. If you want to, hey, here's the routing number for my bank account. If you know anyone that wants to make a direct deposit.
Here's the key to my house. Come by, drop off a bag.
Yeah. Here's my, if you are the proud owner of a Brinks truck and you want to back it up, my address is.
Give me that Loomis.
Oh, you're a Loomis man.
I'm a Loomis guy.
Hmm.
Yes, but I want to fit into large t-shirts. I'd like to do that again. Cause I'm right on the brink of XL and large, and I just prefer to not go to the XL direction.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd like to be able to tuck in my shirt and have the pants stay on the waist, you know?
Yeah.
It's just stuff like that.
You can do it.
General convenience. That's what I was telling Rod today. I was like, I don't
his
have
name's
like a
Rod.
His name is Rod Stewart. All right.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa.
Powerful.
Oh my gosh.
And he is the Giga Chad meme. He looks like David Goggins, but like Like if David Goggins was like happy.
If David Goggins was buff.
Yeah. He looks like David Goggins, but like happy. You know?
He looked like David Goggins if his head weren't shaped like that.
No, but he's like rocking the bald. He's got the he's got the salt and pepper beard. It's great.
His name is Rod.
And he's got charisma. That's the thing. It's like he's just such a great guy to be around. I'm like, wow, I already feel so welcome in this gym. I think the other thing about this the gym that it's a statistic for church, right? Like people come to church, they don't really come to church for Jesus, they come to church because they have friends. Right? Like at the end of the day, that's like the human desires for community. And like yes. I feel like these people could be friends of mine and like they're really nice. And it's like that's the thing that keeps you coming back to the gym.
It sucks. You're gonna become like a social media mogul and you get all these fit friends and you're gonna do podcasts with other people and you're gonna leave me behind because I'm boring and I don't have anything to contribute anymore.
Maybe you should canceled. Hold off getting that gun.
I'm getting canceled by JD Flynn on X, the everything app. I can't do it anymore, man. I can't. What do you want from me? I can't keep up. I'm never gonna be mom's favorite. You're always gonna be her favorite. You owe me $20. I'm done. I don't know.
You won $20 at my bachelor party.
That's true. You're never getting that back from me.
Your free contact photo updated to you instead of RJ the raccoon, and so now
no, you're still you're still Vern the turtle on mine. For those of you that don't know, this is Patrick's contact on my phone,
and at my name in his. Dude, you just showed my phone number.
Oh, okay. This is Patrick's phone number. Hold on. Let's let the camera focus so that everyone can call it. There it is.
Oh, come on, dude.
All right, Ryan, edit that out. He can edit
it. I swear, if you forget to edit that out, I'd be so.
No. Nobody, if you saw his number, nobody call him. Nobody call him.
I don't care. I'm not gonna people, answer the text anyway. I'm
yeah, exactly.
Pick it up, you know?
We just block the number. Of our 18 viewers, maybe one will call you.
On YouTube. So. We have a lot of viewers on the podcast. I don't like saying we don't have a lot of viewers. You guys are part of something big. You guys are part
huge.
Of a big group. If you want to be a part of, if you want to talk to those people, go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord. You can join our Discord community. You can talk to other Crunch Bunch people. Talk about the faith. Talk about dating corner questions. Talk about how you thought that something Ethan said was slightly racist and it made you uncomfortable.
That's not true. I never said anything.
You
did say something racist that one time. You said that some cultures are better than
others. I said something about like how like Haitian culture is inherently cannibalistic, and I was like, I don't think that came out right.
No, I don't think that's what he meant to say at all. Oh, what can you do? All right, that's it for us. No dating corner this week because we have to record a different podcast for a different organization that's special, and it's going to be. I don't know how we're going to do that after this. I'm nervous.
We'll see. They'll still let us go.
That's true. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Remember, it's not worth it to go for the 2-block vertical jump for the beef.
Thank you all for
listening.
The
1-block horizontal jump is enough to sustain you until the next day. And then you can do the challenge to become a parkour expert. What is it? It's parkour noob and parkour...
Parkour professional.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us for interviews. See you all next time.
I like saying, I like making jokes like that because then my mother-in-law goes, Patrick, what does that mean? What did that mean? She texts me, hey, what the heck?